Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a story about another stable coin potentially crashing and what this means about crypto and the price of Bitcoin. So let's go over to the story from CNBC. Another algorithmic stable coin has fallen below its $1 peg, but experts say it's not Terra 2.0. And I think Mr. Brown here, looks like Ryan Brown is the author, is showing kind of a bias towards crypto because he's saying experts. Well, I read most of the article. I couldn't really find any experts other than the experts who are at this stable coin, who work there is what I'm saying, or the owner or the founder of this stable coin. Maybe a couple others, but it seems like they're all in the business. So obviously, they're going to say it's not Terra 2.0. And then they also say it's not Terra 2.0 because it's a lot smaller. Okay, well, I don't know why that makes a big difference. In my opinion, it would be easier for the market to go in and blow it up if it was smaller. But let's read what they're saying here. Key talking points. USDD, a so-called algorithmic stablecoin, meant to be worth a dollar, now plunged to 93 cents, and this was as of Sunday. Oh, an old article. Oh, updated 5 hours ago. Okay, well, take this for what it's worth here. I think the overall concept is what's more important. I'll go into that in a moment. Situation has led to fears that USDD may suffer same fate as Terra. Despite concern, experts say it's not likely going to happen. We talked about it going down to 93 cents. They highlight that here. That was as of Sunday. And the Tron DAO Reserve, which oversees and manages the stablecoin, said certain degree of volatility is expected. Of course, what are they going to say? I mean, it's the same stuff that they said at Celsius or even Terra. They're, oh, yeah, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And it's like the Fed. That's what they have to say. And what I found interesting here is they're basically saying that they can prop it up with because they've got $3 billion or so in Bitcoin. But it's exactly what Terra did and didn't work for Terra. Cryptos are generally price correlated during times of upheaval, he said. And USDD also offers investors unusually high interest rates, up to 39% on their USDD deposits. Anchor, a crypto lending platform, similarly touted yields as much as 20%, a rate many investors now say was unsustainable. Unsustainable. I wouldn't go so far as to say unsustainable. I would actually take that about a million steps further and say impossible. Let's go back here for a moment. Let's go back in time. And I think I have been extremely, extremely professional on Twitter as of the last month or so, because I took a lot of heat about a year ago, as many of you who follow me on Twitter remember, from the Bitcoiners, from the Maxis, from the whatever they want to call themselves, right? Where I was questioning the probability of Bitcoin becoming the global reserve currency. I said, maybe this is a separate set of probabilities from Bitcoin just going up in price. And I also remember, and I'm not going to mention any names, I did a show, a podcast, a very popular podcast about a year ago. And the host was talking about crypto, very, very bullish on Bitcoin. And he said, well, if you're bullish on Bitcoin, why would you not take a mortgage out on your house? If you're bullish on Bitcoin, why would you not max out your credit card? And I have very rarely been completely stumped by questions that I get if I'm being interviewed. In fact, I don't know if I've ever been at just a complete loss for words, but I was this time because that was such an unbelievable question that I didn't think anyone in their right mind, any grown adult, could ask that question in any seriousness about anything. Forget Bitcoin, anything. Why would you not max out your credit card and buy XYZ asset? Okay, I didn't know that I had to explain that to anybody. Thought that was pretty darn obvious. I guess not. And but more to my point, the heat that I was taking on Twitter as a result of me saying, okay, you know, maybe the odds are a little bit different that it's the global reserve currency. And maybe there's a little bit of hysteria in the market right now. And maybe, you know, might reconsider adding to the position instead of just stacking sats. You know, maybe you need to take a little bit of a breather and great, long term, sure, goes up in price or whatever may happen. But it's definitely not going to go up in a straight line. Nothing ever does. And let's try to think through, you know, is this really digital gold? Maybe in the future, probably not now. And I was just basically throwing things out there that I think were very, very reasonable and rational. And yet I was just being just annihilated on Twitter. So my point is, you know, I choose to take the high road here, but I could very easily be dunking nonstop on these people that, you know, just went after me, but I'm not going to do that, right? But what I do want to point out, because I think there's a big lesson here, is no matter how bullish you are on something, you have to realize that nothing goes up in a straight line, and you've got to be prudent about your investments. And when everyone is saying that it's going to the moon, maybe, maybe not. Just take pause and set up your portfolio accordingly. And no matter how bullish you are on something, you don't max out your credit cards, for heaven's sakes, to buy XYZ asset. That is lunacy, right? Again, I didn't really realize that I had to actually say that out loud. I figured that was a known. And also, too, I want to kind of call out some of the people, and I'm not going to mention them by name, but now all of these, you know, Bitcoin maximalist folks are saying, well, of course, Bitcoin always comes back down. It always retraces 50%. You should have known this. And if you would have been just stacking sats the last 5 years, you'd still be way up. Okay, well, let's not cherry pick a time frame here. I mean, you could have said that about real estate in 2007 or 2008 or 2009 or something, right? And then also, although they're saying, well, obviously Bitcoin's going to come down. Obviously, it's not going to go up in a straight line. And if you bought at 60 or 65,000, you should have known that it most likely would have retraced to this degree because it's always been this volatile. That's kind of the argument right now, right? But I got to call those people out. Because when Bitcoin was 60 or 65,000, they were not saying this. They were not, none of them were saying, oh, buy Bitcoin now, but be careful because it could retrace 50, 60, 70%. None of them were saying that. Most of them, if not all, were saying, oh, buy it. It's going to 100. It's going to 1 million. It's going to the moon. You know, now, to be fair, most of them were not saying max out your credit card, but they're saying, you know, just dollar cost average, just buy. Don't worry about it going down. It's not going to go back down ever again. They weren't talking about the volatility. They weren't saying that, oh, volatile, that's Bitcoin. It's just going to have these 50% down or 70% down moves. And again, so I'm not going to sit here and dunk on them any more than I already have. And I'm not doing it, you know, right or wrong. That doesn't matter to me. But I do want to call them out as a warning to other people. So when or if Bitcoin goes back up to 40, 50, 60, the people in my audience who may be considering adding to their position aren't listening to these Bitcoin people who were being overly aggressive, let's say, in their rhetoric the last time Bitcoin got to that level. So I want to conclude by making sure that people realize that I'm not saying that Bitcoin's going to zero. I'm not saying that I don't like it. I like Bitcoin. And if you guys know, I've said many times, I think everyone should own it to have purchasing power outside of the banking system. I think that's very prudent. Now, when you add to your position, I would do that personally based on panic and hysteria. If you see panic, massive panic, and I don't know that we're there yet, but maybe we are, then you consider adding. If you see massive hysteria, probably not a good time. Probably hold off. But whatever you do, completely ignore all of those people who last time it was at 60 or 65, never mentioned the volatility once. They never even articulated a view that was anything other than Bitcoin to the moon. And there's you might as well just buy, because there's pretty much zero risk of it ever going down. And oh, by the way, if you don't buy now at 65,000, have fun staying poor, right? This is my point. I'm not going to name names, but let's just agree that by now, those people don't deserve to any of our time or any of our mental bandwidth moving forward, regardless of what the price of Bitcoin does over the next 6 months or the next 6 years. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. So getting back to this article here, another thing, and I think this is why I went off on that tangent in the first place, is because another thing that I got crucified on Twitter for is questioning, okay, how are you getting 8, 15, 20% returns on something that doesn't produce yield? And then, of course, I would get all these answers that didn't really make sense. And even back then, I was saying, okay, well, maybe there's something I don't get. I mean, I don't know how you can get, how could you get a 20% return on gold? I don't know. It seems suspicious. But maybe there's something I don't understand about the technology. And they say, oh, well, they're just lending it out. Okay. Well, if you're lending it out, then that means the person that's borrowing it's paying an astronomical interest rate. And if the price goes down, it's not producing a yield. I don't know. How are they going to pay you back? How are they going to give you that interest rate? And then you get a margin call. And then how are you going to pay out the people that you promised the interest rate to? Bottom line, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. But this just seems blatantly obvious now. And back then, the people that I was referring to earlier were just saying that, oh, well, it's obvious why they can give you a 10%, 20% return. George, you're just too stupid to understand the technology. Go home, boomer. You know, this type of nonsense. And moving forward, lesson learned. We've got to remember that no matter how good it sounds, if it seems too good to be true, 99% of the time, it is. It's regardless of what type of paradigm shift we have in the economy, it's history just repeats itself over and over and over and over again. So now they're saying some notable connections, or there's some notable, they're saying that notable differences. Okay, for one, it's not at the scale, but again, I don't know that that would make it any more resilient. It's not as widespread. Okay. It doesn't have any, it's not the contagion risk. Okay. All right. Bottom line here, guys, is these are all, I think, pretty darn weak arguments for why this won't crash. I'm not saying that it will, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think they're just trying to pull something out of their rear end, not to, in order for the people who hold this not to panic, which would definitely prompt the demise of this stable coin, which would most likely bring prices down in other cryptos or other entities within the ecosystem. So now I want to conclude on actually a high note. Over the weekend, I tweeted out that although I saw a lot of hysteria over 45,000, it seems like there's a lot of panic when it gets down to 18, 17, that's for sure. And although I was not adding to my position, I'm a lot more interested. I'm paying far more attention. Now, I even said that at 30, though, if you look at my Twitter feed. I said I was paying more attention at 30. And based on what I'm seeing on Twitter and social media and the mainstream media, I'm paying even more attention at 17,000, 18,000. And I think the good news here, if you're bullish on Bitcoin and you're a rational person, is because of this shakeout, I think if when Bitcoin does go up, it'll probably go up a lot slower, but it'll be more sustainable because you're not going to have all of this momentum capital going into Bitcoin, or a lot less of this momentum capital going into it just as a pure speculation. And the demand side of the equation will come from people who are buying it, I would say, for the right reasons, because they understand Austrian economics and they understand how dangerous governments can be, and they want a decentralized approach instead of what I pretty confident we saw from, let's say, 10, 15,000 up to 60, 65. There's all these hedge funds and basically Wall Street piling into the trade when they could care less about the fundamentals or the rationale for why it may be prudent to own Bitcoin, not just for the next month or the next 10 months or the next trade. It's not just the next bet, but to own it for the next 10, 20 years, to have that purchasing power outside of the banking system. And so as a long-term bull, I think all of this is great. I think the price move down is fantastic. I think you're getting out all the weak hands. And if we go back up, I think it's going to be in a way that's far more healthy. And it's going to teach a lot of those who this may have been their first experience with investing. It's going to teach them to completely ignore all of these people that in the Bitcoin space, in the crypto space, that are just cheerleaders and trying to, I don't want to say encourage people. I would go so far as saying trying to punk people into buying Bitcoin at any price and trying to convince them that the price is only going to go straight up. And regardless of how many of those people admit they were doing that a year ago, let's be honest, the majority of the space was, in fact, doing that. And I would go back and look at the people who were not and taking a more prudent approach. And when, if Bitcoin goes back up, make sure that you're listening to those people who were right and ignoring all of the people that were just promoting this, maybe let's just say irresponsibly. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.